God for that, that I got another day, another opportunity to serve him. And I appreciate the opportunity tonight to be able to preach. Appreciate God's call upon my life. And I don't want to take it for granted, but I want the Bible says to study, to show yourself approved, a workman that need not to be ashamed, to rightly divide the word of truth. And we're going to try to go ahead and get in the word tonight. If you got your Bibles, Romans chapter 8, familiar scripture. When you find it, say amen. So there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's really about as far as I should even have to go on this. That's shouting ground right there. No, I'm no longer condemned. I don't have the penalty of sin against me no more. I'm free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm free. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Thank God. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is empty against God, for it is not subject to the law, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's all my reading. God, I ask God you give me the tongue to learn tonight, that I speak a word to God, your word freely with a spirit, oh God. God, that some soul might be helped, the church might be edified. God, you'd wake us, oh God, and use us for such a time as this. We ask it in your mighty name we pray. Amen. Tonight, as was reading over this, and I've had this for a while now, but I finally got it put partially together, I guess. I want to preach to you on just a simple thought. As you read through these scriptures I read, there's a word that sticks out. It's in there several times. I guess to be probably six or eight times. And the word is, are after, being after. And I want to preach tonight on what are you after? What are you after? And that's my title tonight. I never got to, I was thinking about putting a presentation up here, and I had one picked out, and I got a screenshot on my phone, but I just did not have enough time to send it to the men in charge upstairs. To be able to put it together. I'm not PowerPoint savvy enough to do it myself. Maybe one of these days I'll succumb that and be able to do that. But as of right now, I haven't got it. But I had a man, and he had a magnifying glass, and he had a detective coat on, and he was searching for something. And men was born to be after something. Men are looking for something. And if it's not for something good, it's something evil. Men are always looking. Some are looking for trouble, and if you're looking for trouble, it won't take long for you to find it, because trouble's everywhere. If you're looking for fault, it won't be long for you to find fault. You could find fault tonight in me, if you believe that. There's plenty of fault to be found, but what are you after? That's what my title is tonight. And I even had a couple other titles in case that may not worked out. And I put in search mode. You know what that is? Being in search mode. And But tonight, what are you after? In Romans 8, there it says, notice it said all the afters. And that got my attention. To be after is to be in pursuit of, to apprehend, a passionate drive. What drives us? He said, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And tonight I'm going to preach that simple thought on what are you after. Back in January 24, 1848, you wasn't there, was you? Was you anybody here during that time? No. In 1848, a man by the name of James W. Marshall discovered a gold nugget in the American River in California. And with him discovering that gold nugget in California, everybody heard what he had found. And it became a rush, if you will, they said. And it started the gold rush. And men got gold fever. And men left their homestead and they left they picked up and saddled up and they moved toward California in pursuit of gold, looking and searching, trying to find a gold nugget. Maybe they'd find a nugget and feed their family the rest of their lives. But they had gold fever, and that's what they were searching after. And that's what their heart was in tune to. That's what they were looking for. And Brother Greg was singing that song tonight, and I pointed over to Amy, my wife, there, and I looked at the first verses here of this song, Joy Unspeakable. And it says, I have found His grace is all complete. Was that what you was after? I have found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. What are you after? Is that what you was after? I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. Was that your pursuit? Is that what drove you? Is that what drives you? I have found the hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. Have you found it? Are you after Him? Are you pursuing after Him? That word means to adhere to or listen. That it said, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And that word mind, I looked it up, and it means to adhere to or listen or interact or obey or to take care of or pay attention to something. That they that do mind the flesh. Has He spoke to you anything at all? Is God still speaking? Three or four of us believe He is. I said, is God still speaking?
Does this new sound system work? It sure does, don't it?
But, God still speaks. And it's up to His people to hear. But we must be in a search mode, if you will, wanting to hear what thus saith the Lord concerning me daily. And you daily, that we might walk with Him, we might talk with Him, we might have conversation one with another. What are you after? I don't know about you, but I'm not after the flesh. There was a time that after I got saved, I had a battle with the flesh, and I knew there was a flesh and there was a spirit war going on. And when a man gets saved, then you'll know that there's a war going on. Then you'll know that you're not just going to tiptoe through the tulips and make it all rosy through to heaven. There's a battle that takes place. And after I got saved, I began to fight that fleshly man that I didn't know anything about before I got saved. But I realized there was another member there that was warring against me, and it was the flesh. And I realized there was things that I was doing that I was running after the flesh, and I was following the flesh. But after I got saved, I changed masters, if you will, and I began to follow the Spirit. And the Spirit, the Bible says, the Spirit speaketh expressly in the last days that men's hearts will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I want to hear what the Spirit says for this hour. And I want to spend my life in that pursuit to be able to hear God. You know, men have made pursuits for years. They're men that are pursuing or after. They're men that are called storm chasers. You ever heard of them? These men, that's their lively pursuit to find that horrible storm that's going to wreak havoc upon a land. And they'll chase that storm. And they'll follow that storm. And they'll follow the aftermath. You know, even after the storm's over with, there's men that are storm chasers to make money after that. They'll set up this dentless hell stone remover. I'm trying to think the right word. When hell damages the car, they'll set up these little booths side the road that they'll do it without much money or anything. They'll fix that. That's their pursuit. Painless dent repair. Painless, not painless. It's painful because it hits the old budget, the old wallet. Painless dent repair. I may have to put that in my mind a little bit deeper. But anyway, there's men that chase after these storms, and that's their pursuit. And that's their. There's men that for years have looked for Bigfoot. They have. That's what they've been after. They'll go in the woods, and they'll sit in the middle of the dark, and they'll listen for sounds, hoping to find or get a glimpse or get a picture or a photograph of Bigfoot. Anybody here looking for him? Anybody seen him lately? I've seen some men with Bigfoot and big feet, but they're not Bigfoot. I've seen men that look like some kind of Grizzly Adams. But that's not Bigfoot, and that's not what I'm after. They're men, I remember reading years ago, men looking for the Loch Ness Monster. Are you looking for the Loch Ness Monster? I'm not looking for him. You know who I'm looking for? I'm looking for him that's coming. He's coming with 10,000s and thousands. And he's coming with a sound. And when he comes, I want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He's coming in power. We'll hail that blessed hour. We shall see the king when he comes. What are you after? What are you after in this day and hour? I read the back of a truck one day, and a guy, I'd preached this message one time years ago, and I got it, as soon as I got at the church, the back of his truck says, "I'm a coon hunter." And that's his prerogative to be a coon hunter. But I talked to him afterwards, and that's all he talked about. Coon hunting. Going out in the woods in the middle of the night with two or three dogs and them chasing a coon up a tree and this barking and going on. Then they finally get the coon out of the tree, shoot it down. And what a delight. That didn't bring me one bit of joy. They said, "You ought to go with us." I said, "I have no desire to go coon hunting. It don't thrill me. It don't excite me. I don't want to be out in the middle of the night. I could be sleeping in my bed at home in the middle of the night under the blankets instead of going through the mud holes and up the briar patch and in the middle of the night in the dark. I'm not a coon hunter." But he was a coon hunter. That was his pursuit in life. What are you after? What's your ambition? What's your pursuit? What's your prerogative? What is it that drives you as a Christian? There should be a drive inside of us that the song says, "I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of His great love, so rich and full and free." The rest of it says, "I want more of Jesus, so I must give Him what? I must give Him more of me." What are you after? Well, just what is it? "They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." When I was young and lost, I was after the flesh. And I was after the world. I was after its fads. I was after its fashions. I was after all the things the world could give me. But when God saved me and put His Spirit inside of me, I become searching after the Spirit. And I want to hear the voice of the Lord. I want to be in tune with His voice. And when He speaks, I want to listen and I want to obey. What are you after? There's men that have tangible pursuits and monetary pursuits in life. They've searched. They've looked. And men have got their men go hunting, looking for the biggest buck there is. And that's their prerogative. But that I'm not a hunter. I'm not a mechanic. I can fix a few things, tear them up in the process, fixing them. But I'm not mechanically inclined. I'm not, Brother Aaron, I'm not a deer hunter. I know you're a deer hunter. You like deer hunting, and I'm not against that. But I'm not a deer hunter. I'm not a coon hunter. But my pursuit, my joy is to touch Him. My pursuit, I'm looking for Him. That's what I'm after. I'm after the Spirit of the Lord. Whenever God moves and when God comes by and He touches our children, He touches the elders. And we had a good service and great revival here the last couple weeks back. And about a month ago, we had a great move of God. The young people back here seeking God. And that's what my desire is, to see people get what they need in God. And they begin to pray and God filled them with the Holy Ghost. That's my ambition. That's what drives me. That's what feeds my soul. That's what causes me to my spiritual man to rise and stir itself and realize, you know, God's in this place. That God's here to help us. That God's came by for such a time as this to help His people. And we must be, when God's Spirit moves, we must be perceptive enough to know God's a moving. God's a helping. And the waters are troubled. That's the time to get in it, and not to wait until the angel's already left and the man's healed and think, you know, now we're going to get in. But why His Spirit's moving and why God's dealing and God's saving and God's filling and God's healing and God's delivering, God still moves. I said, God still moves. He doesn't sleep, nor does He slumber, but God still moves. God's looking for a people that will pursue after Him in such a way and fashion that will hunger after Him more than the things of this world. That the things of this world would grow strangely dim in your life. The things of this world would lose its glory and lose all its glamour. That you could fix your eyes upon Him and say, Lord, I want all You've got for me, Lord. I want everything You've got for my heart and my soul and my family. I want more of You in this last hour and last day. I'm in pursuit of a revival. And I love the old stories and I love the old days, and them men had what they had because they were genuine with God. They prayed and they sought the face of God. They were after God. They were in pursuit, if you will. They were in search mode. Working on. A revival would be going on in town, and it didn't matter if it was a Baptist church or a Methodist church or Pentecostal church. If God was moving, guess what? Everybody around would come to that little church because they heard what God was doing. And that's the way it was for the California Gold Rush. What caused these men to get excited and want to leave their home? And they thought they found something better. But I have found the way. And He is the way, and He is the truth, and He's alive. And all that come before Him are as thieves and robbers. Peter and John were about to go into the temple one day, and it's about the time of prayer, and they met a man at the gate. And that man at the gate, guess what he asked? He was expecting to receive something from them. And he asked alms. Alms. He sat there with his cup, and he was begging. Alms. And we know that Peter and John, they said, why look on us? He said, why look steadfastly upon us? It's silver and gold, have we none? It'd been horrible if that was it. We ain't got gold or silver. But he said, but such as we have, give we thee. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And that man, when they grabbed him by the hand, he leaping stood. Oh, brother.
Liebman stood and began to worship God. You don't have to follow the motions. Begin to worship God. He is leaping, and he entered in the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. That man was not just in pursuit of, he was in pursuit of a few quarters and nickels and dimes, but he got more than what he bargained for. He leapt with a blessing. He leapt with a healed body. He leapt with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. We would think the man's crazy if he come around here, him walking, leaping, and praising God. We look at him and say, "What happened to you?" And he'd start telling us his testimony, and we look at him as strange sometimes. But man, I tell you what, he got touched from the Lord. And when God touches you, you ain't going to stay the same. You won't be able to keep quiet when he heals your child. You ain't going to be able to keep quiet when he saves your neighbor. You ain't going to be able to keep quiet when he touches your body. You had pain all night long, and in the morning you prayed all the way through and God touched you. How could we keep quiet? Because we're in pursuit of him. I long to see him. Oh, I long to see his power in the sanctuary. Do you know in the church there's two kinds of people? There are thermostats and thermometers in the church. And I'm not just talking about on the wall. You know what a thermostat does? Anybody know? Regulates it. So if it gets cold in church, what do? You can change it. You know what a thermometer does? It just checks it, and whatever it is, it is. It don't change, can't change nothing. It said, "We'll just leave it the way it is." There's people come to church that say, "We'll just leave it the way it is. That's the way it always has been. We've always had dry services. We've always been like this." It don't have to be that way. You could be a thermometer. You could be a thermostat and change. You could change your pew. You could change those sitting behind you or beside you. You can put a smile on your face. You can clap your hands. You can make a difference. If it feels cold in your pew, clap your hands. If it feels cold in your soul, worship the Lord. Don't stay cold. You say, "Well, I'm just a thermometer. This is the way it always has been. Every Sunday morning we do it like this." It don't have to be that way. God's looking for people that will look after him and search after. What are we after? I don't know about you, but I am looking for a soul-saving, earth-shaking, devil-chasing revival. And God can give us that revival. You say, "When is it going to happen?" It's on his time schedule. But we can make it happen by inviting him. You know God only goes where he's wanted. Yeah. I don't come to your house unless you invite me. If I was to come to your house and uninvited, you'd say, you'd feel kind of odd and strange. You'd feel like you had to make me something to eat or whatever. But if you invited me over for coffee and donuts or whatever, I'd feel like you invited me. I feel like I had a welcome. An invitation. How do you invite God? How do we invite God in the sanctuary? You might know. I will enter his gates. How? With thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. That's how we invite him. He inhabits the praises of his people. And if we're searching after him, your hand can't keep from raising up. I preached a message one time, and it's funny. Most of mine are. But I preached on that old commercial they had years ago, "Raise your hands if you're sure." Old deodorant commercial. And I ain't talking about the stink. But I'm talking about being sure. I'm sure in whom I have believed in. And I believe he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what I'm able to ask, think, or even believe. I'm sure of this fact. Sure means you can stand upon it. You can take it to the bank. It's surety. It's good. Nobody can change your mind about it. Anybody in here sure tonight? Are you sure what you got? Genuine? I'm sure of this fact. I'm sure of this fact that tonight I knelt down at that altar in E-Town Camp, that he came into my heart and he took that old black heart and he washed it white as snow with his red blood. And I rose up a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm sure that not over in Somerset, July the 23rd, 1991, that night when I prayed through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm sure that night when I left out of here, I left out with the power of God in my heart. And it was joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you can't make me doubt it. The devil can't make me doubt it. The world can't take it away from me because it didn't give it to me. But I'm sure of this fact, that they that seek God shall find him when they seek him with all their heart. That God's not hid himself from his people. God's not cast his people away. But God's looking for a people that will seek his face. If we'll seek him. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 and 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. What are you after? I'm not here just to pull my time. This is not a prison sentence. I'm not here just to watch the fleeting days go by and the rest of my hair fall out and me to lose all my teeth and me to be walking on a walker. That's not my joy or ambition. It may happen. It may happen sooner than what we think. But what I'm after is I want to be in his presence. I want an audience with God. And if you want an audience with God, you've got to be after him. You've got to get close to him. You've got to draw nigh. The Bible says draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. What are you after? What is it that drives you? There's people that their drive is to be a, their drive is a football game. That's what drives them. They're football fans. They're basketball fans. And if that's your boat, go ahead and float. But I'm looking for Jesus. And I'm not against you on them things, but what I am is I'm looking for him because I know it won't be long. He's coming. And I can't get distracted by some of the things this world has to offer. It'll offer you all kinds of things. It'll cloud your vision. It'll cause you to grow cold in your pew. But if you come to church with a great expectancy, says, oh, where's he at? Where could I find him at? Is he on the front row? Is he on the back row? I'm not saying God just goes wherever, but where could I find him? You could find him right there. You could find him right there. You can find him in your pew tonight. When we knelt down and prayed a while ago, he was there. You don't have to send a search party out looking for God. Where'd he go? We've lost God. No. He's right where he always has been. He's on his throne. He's still high and lifted up. His glory still fills the temple. The angels still cry out, holy. Holy, holy, what are we after? My spiritual ambition, my desire is that God send a sweeping revival and let it begin with me if it has to. Search me, O God, and know my ways, try the reins upon my heart. See if there be any wicked way and turn me, O God, that I might prove you, Lord. Have you tested God? Prove him. One lady said that she went through the Bible and found an old woman's Bible and was going through it and found T and P written all through the Bible. And they asked, said, Mama, said, what's that mean on in your Bible by them scriptures? T and P. She said, daughter, said, every word of the promise is, she said, I found it, tried, and on the end of it, I put proven. I've tried it, and he's proven himself. It's not by my work or not by my ability, but it's all his ability. It's nothing you and I could do. It's not by might nor by power, but by his spirit that we could have revival. And it's not man's ways of turning it on and off, but God. When God sends a move, hell can't stop it. Hell will fear a church that seeks after God. Hell fears a church that looking for God, that is in pursuit. David, your household's all destroyed. They took your wife and your children down at Ziklag. What are you going to do, David? David begins to pray. God, what do I do? You heard what God said. God said, pursue. And he said, recover all without fail. You're going to get it all back. Recover part of it. Recover all back. You're going to get your wife back. You're going to get children back. You're going to take back what the enemy has stolen. What are we after? I don't want just a little bit. I want all he's got. There was a preacher, I heard him say this years ago, and I looked it up. It's called Brillo cream. Anybody heard that? Anybody know what that is, Brillo cream? Maybe mispronouncing it. See, they're this special cream that men put in their hair. Keeping their Brillo cream, is that it? Brillo cream, she knows what it is. But their little slogan is, a little dab will do. A little dab will do. That's where a lot of church members are. Just a little bit will do. I've had enough revival. We had revival from Wednesday. All Wednesday night, was that done me in. I got so much revival Wednesday night, I didn't have to come back Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the rest of the week. Just a little dab done it. Well, praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but we're in the last days. We're in the last hour. Time is winding up. And I'm in pursuit of a God that hears our prayer. And just a little dab won't do it. I want more. Do you want more? I'm not trying to beat you over the head. I'm trying to encourage you, church. We have all that God's got for us. We have empty pews and places where people ought to be. A little dab won't do. I got an old newspaper article, and it says, come to First Pentecostal Church. It was back in 1976, and it invited 999 people to First Pentecostal Church. What will we do with 999 people? Huh? Give them a seat? Would you let them sit down in your pew? Or would you say, this is my pew, go back somewhere else? I've been sitting here 300 years. What would you do? Hopefully you'd invite them in and make them feel welcome. That's what we're here for, right? I want more. And he's got more. If I went to the ocean tonight and I reached down and I got a jar of water, ocean water, and held it up. I can't say I've got all the ocean there. It's got the same qualities as the ocean. It's got some of the same minerals, but that's just a little bit of it. Eyes have not seen, neither have ears heard, neither has it entered into First Pentecostal's heart what God has in store for us. He's got a lot for us. Other day when God was moving, I was encouraged. I'm still encouraged. I'm not discouraged. But I was encouraged because I looked around and I seen some young men over here, shy young men, with their hands raised and their heart lifted up to God. That encourages me. It lets me know that God's dealing with them and God's using them and God's touching them, and they're after God. And I don't want to stand in their way. I want them to get what God's got for them. A few services back, from the balcony up here, we heard an Indian war whoop. You remember that? I'm for that. I'm for letting God have his way. When God moves, all our troubles and stuff dissipate and disappear. In his presence is fullness of joy. When God has his way, when God speaks, what are you after? The song says, draw me near, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Draw me near. I want to worship him, don't you? Oh, David said, oh, they had wings like a dove, and I'd fly to my master. He said, lead me to that rock which is higher than I. You know what he was saying? Where's he at? I'm searching for him. I've got to find the master. I've got to find him, Brother John. I'm in need. We're in need, Brother John. Every one of us are in need. We're like the woman with the issue of blood, and we've had this issue for years, and we must press through the crowd and touch him. If you'll touch him, that's what she was seeking after. That's what she was after. She was after him. She's after the touch. And she left with the touch. The Lord healed her. What are you after? Somebody come piano, please. Philippians 4 and 8 says, finally, brethren, finally. See, I'm at the end of my sermon. You heard the word finally. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And I read to you, for to be carnally minded is dead, but to be spiritually minded, meaning being mindful of the Spirit. That's what he was saying here in Philippians 4 and 8. He says, be mindful. Be mindful of what God's doing. Be mindful of the things that's good report. Be mindful of the pure things. Honest. Think on these things. You're having a bad day? Think on the good things. Think on them things that God's done for you. Call to remembrance the former things where God picked you up at. Look back over your life and reflect and say, God, I remember when you helped me there. I was having a hard time. I may be going through it tonight. And I may be having a hard time this week. But God, you've been by my side. You stood by me in the third watch of the night. You kept your hand on me when it looked like the waves of the sea were going to compass my soul. Be mindful of them things. A lot of times God does stuff for us and we don't tell nobody about it. I'm honest. I'm guilty. I've done it. You want to find God? You want to get after God? You want to search for God? I tell you where you'll find him. The Bible says when you pray, enter into your closet in secret. And when you enter in your closet, shut the door behind you. Then when you pray, the Bible says, when you pray in secret, your Father in heaven will reward you openly. That's what it says. And you won't be able to keep it silent. If we're in our closet and we're praying, and I'm guilty of it, if we're in a closet and we're praying, and God guns by and touches us, and we get hold of God, there ain't no way you're going to keep it quiet. If I ran back here and grabbed a hold of a live wire coming from one of these wall sockets, there's one or two of them back here, it's pretty loose. When you're vacuuming, you'll know which one it is. If I went back and grabbed a hold of that live wire and felt that electric go through my body, you'd be able to tell it. I'd be able to tell it. The doctor would be able to tell what happened. Because I came in contact with something that was more powerful than I. I want to come in contact with him. And I want to be after him. I'm in pursuit. I'm in pursuit. Whatever it takes to have revival, count me in. If you know where he's at, if you know any way I can get closer, let me know.